Anything said on Hillbilly Broadcast should be taken only as opinion. Also, the views and opinions expressed by guests of the program that we interview do not necessarily reflect the views of the hosts of Hillbilly Broadcast or its advertisers.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code CHAMPION and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Remember to use code CHAMPION and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Virginia only. New customer offer subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Washington, D.C.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Please remain calm. There is no need for alarm. This space is now being taken over by Hillbilly Broadcast.
Is this thing on, Kana?
We are sponsored by Lager.
Listen, what you cut the man off. Say it again, Kana. You cannot.
Oh, boy.
Listen, it's been a great day. Everything from hating on Scott Pyle, which has been done over at the Fraternal Order of Hillbilly Broadcasts. But tonight we have a returning guest, the one we've been looking forward to, the one and only Sarah Teeter. Let's give it up for Sarah Teeter. How about that? Right there.
Yeah. Finally.
Right there she is.
Has she been on as much as LaDonna?
This is... No.
I didn't think
LaDonna's at what? Four? Three?
Three. I want to say three.
Is it three?
Yeah.
Three. The insurpassable LaDonna. No.
Yes, LaDonna.
She has more wisdom than I.
And Anderson, the producer, is running around here causing chaos.
Saying, cut. This is all bull.
Yes. He's our fact checker extraordinaire.
Here.
All right.
Those little curls.
Yeah, them curls, man. Again, all I'm going to give him a mullet because I don't have the nerve to get it myself, but I can force it on my child.
Oh.
And that's the plan.
It's okay.
Morgan, what I call it, Morgan squalling is what he's going because he squalls all the time. Mm-hmm. All right. Hit that.
Mommy's
there we go.
Yes.
All right. So what's, should we just launch into this, Sarah? Actually, I had a request to have you back on.
All right.
Because you were on some months ago.
Yeah.
But you were still a little bit more connected to the CHM than others.
Yeah.
And I had just a little bit somewhat, and I had a request to, now that Sarah is done and gone,
yes.
Let's Hallelujah. Have a real episode. Let's really get some stories. Let's get some.
She is now free.
Is it testimony time?
Yes, it is now time.
Please explain to us the freedom you now feel.
This is your Julian Assange moment to just spill your guts.
Oh, my goodness.
This is your Marie Antoinette let them eat cake moment, too. Like, you know, just be free. Oh.
So
now
you
I want cake.
You're so you're still somewhat freshly out as far as officially, correct?
Yes. Officially, freshly off the farm.
Off the farm.
we moved we moved in August, like the very first week of August. So we are in our new location now for I don't even know how many months that is now. What, five?
And I have
or so.
I have five. No idea how in depth you want to go with this, but I'll just go ahead and ask move from where?
Oh Lord. We moved <Or not. laughs> we moved for fresh off the farm of UBC.
Oh man, the Holy Land. She moved out of the Holy Land. Yes.
Oh man. You know.
Coincidentally, closer to me.
I know. I'm so excited.
So happy.
Yeah, that's really very close.
I know. I'm super excited because now I can have coffee with a hillbilly.
Yes, you know it. Yes,
that's pretty cool.
It is. I hope you guys can come over very soon, especially when Mark is home.
Yeah, Mark's a hang. I can attest to that. He's cool.
That'd be good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Speaking of, Jill asked if Mariah, you're wanting to go to Grace Story this year. My mom is coming, and we got a little suite that has a little kitchenette.
I'll go, but I don't think I want to do the session. Like, I'll go.
Oh, you need to. They're good.
I can speak for
you. You can just meet with us for dinner and go to the hotel.
I'll just come stay at your hotel and, like, keep it warm.
And, girl, that is totally fine. Let me just say this, okay? My mom really had, like, they talked about some really raw things, especially because my mom's so fresh coming out of the CHM. And so mom had to kind of step away for a little bit. And so I understand for some people, it is not for them. For everybody else, so people were kind of just like, you know, we don't care. We're, you know, middle fingers to the sky, kind of.
Listen,
you know?
I really think that Grace Story is good people. And in fact, when I went to the men's conference, I went because of a direct invitation from them, because I don't like to roll in there and crash somebody's party with Hillbilly Broadcast, because I know, you know, sometimes we can stir different emotions in certain people, but they directly, you know, one-on-one is like, Phil, why don't you come out? So I really think they're good people. They're doing good work.
Yeah. I think they're really trying to bridge the gap between the CHM and those that have left. They have a different approach than what Hillbilly Broadcast does. However, I think they are really trying to, you know.
And I think there's room for that approach. Gentle. Again, like with Bree and Holiness. Okay, they're not cracking all the jokes we are, but that's fine. That's their approach, you know, and that's just the way it is. Now, I do think that, like with Bree and Holiness, and actually she's coming back on here soon, by the way.
Yes. I'm so excited.
Thank God. I've missed her.
Yeah. Yeah. We have Natalie back on. But I do know that a lot of times people have a desire to try to bridge the gap, try to save the CHM.
Right.
Personally, I think that's a lost cause. But I say more power to you. Go try. Absolutely. Go try. I don't think it's going to work, but
I don't want to get that.
It's not going to work.
But yeah. I would love to say I'm wrong. I'd love to be proven wrong.
Yeah. I was talking to my mom about that today, and I told her, I said, you know, not everybody is going to have the same approach that we do. We're more of a tough love, you know, viewpoint. because, you know, we're just kind of like,
I think
we're
just a little more honest.
Well, we also take the approach. We're a little bit like a construction site. Kanan, you can attest to this. If you're on a job site and somebody's not picking on you, that's when you should be nervous.
Yes.
You know, that's what we're used to is, you know, cracking jokes and stuff. Cause that's how you show that, you care for somebody on a job site. Now, I guess, you know, Scott Pyle, I do care. I guess we could say.
We need to talk about that really quick. What was his big, huge
Scott
comment about that today?
Yeah. I was reading through,
since you brought it up, let's just get that out of the way. Yeah.
So Scott Pyle, the Hillbilly Broadcast posted this today.
Yes.
Our team.
Mm-hmm. Our information collector posted this.
I don't know why our our team posted like this. I'll have to talk with them.
Oh, boy.
Just heard a CHM preacher say this. That CHM preacher was Scott Pyle, by the way. quote, our relationship with God is killed if we sin. No matter how large or how small, if we are not following after him, if we are not doing what he would have us to do, the relationship between us and God is terminated.
Oh, boy.
Again, to read.
I didn't know that was who that was.
That's exactly who that was.
I didn't look as much in depth as to who that was.
Yep.
That was
all that I know.
Reverend Pyle.
Then I guess that his relationship with God was terminated a long time ago when his gluttony took over, which is all.
Oh, here, let's hit that one right there.
Right.
Again, and I'll read the rest of the post that, again, our team posted. Thankfully, this is 100% not true. Don't be deceived by this kind of stuff. And then 1 John
Yes.
Chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
Yes.
Again, this was written to believers, is my best understanding. Sure is. If we say we have no, present tense, have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us.
That's true.
So, yeah, there was that about Scott.
And like, I mean, just that verse in itself is so, so powerful. Because these are Christians and like they're saying, I'm sorry, you're saying you don't sin? Like, oh boy, done. Like, like we it says sin.
It says present tense.
Right.
Have no sin. You're deceiving yourself.
Yep.
Now, granted, there's a difference in sin. I do believe. Now, if you can read 1 John and it's full, like it explains this. Now you have to take off your holiness glasses to understand it.
Right.
But it says like, and it took me a long time to get to that point.
The glasses of perfection. That's exactly what it is.
Yes. You have
those rose colored glasses.
Oh boy. Oh,
that's a good song right there. You have, so it says that, you know, if you walk in sin, you're not right. Yeah. But what is walking? Yeah. That's committing to.
Right.
Okay. That's commit. That's not talking about the occasional misstep. And it if you commit sin or commit to sin,
right,
is what I've been told is maybe even a better way of saying that. If you're committing to the sin, is in, okay, I'm a drunkard and I'm okay with it, and here we go.
Okay, so that's exactly
the problem.
Being
there.
Okay with sinning,
yes,
and acting like, oh, guess what, God forgives me no matter what. No, it actually takes some attempt and trying to be doing good. However, there does come the humanity where Paul says, that thing which I don't want to do,
I do.
And that thing that I don't want to do, I do.
And again, he was talking present tense. Yes. The CHM will try to tell you that this was all past tense. But Paul was describing himself, I am, oh, wretched man that I am. How will I escape the...
Yes.
Yeah, it's so don't fall for stuff like we all were... exposed to this kind of stuff as if you sin, hey, you're off the wagon.
Right.
That's just not the case. Now, if you make if you're happy to make your bed with sin, that's a different story. That's where you run into trouble. But Christians are going to sin, in my humble opinion. They're going to.
Right.
Because we're human.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I was talking to my mom about that today, and because my mom stopped by and we were ranting to each other. And you know how whenever you have that Christian that's trying and they make it seem like if you do one thing, as Scott Pyle said, you are done. Your relationship with God is just so far gone. And I'm kind of like, but what about that human side of us where we are going to mess up? God knows that we are going to do that. What about that whole thing of I tried, I messed up, and God forgives me? There is none of that with that whole CHM statement that he just made.
Well, again, and if I can go back to Mariah's point about gluttony, okay?
Right.
I feel like I can push you here, Scott, because look at me.
Sure.
All right? Honestly. I mean, I'm being completely honest here.
Right.
I sit here, you know, there's been different times that I have committed gluttony.
Oh, my gosh.
But the CHM does not recognize that. It's like that's kind of like but you got preachers, and not I don't claim to know how much Scott weighs, but I know of some that are over the 400-pound mark.
Oh.
And it's like, dude.
Okay, try 300 and tell me that's healthy.
It's not.
It's not. Because even some of the most muscular men,
it's
I'm
not healthy.
Sure they hit 300.
Now, the thing is, if you're just happy with that, and I have to be careful that I don't become happy with that.
Sure.
Because it's a sin.
Right.
Gluttony is a sin. Overindulgence is a sin.
It is.
And I feel like that's probably... American Christianity, that's probably the sin that we all fall prey to the most because
it's
we're just
the most accepted sin.
Yes.
That and gossiping.
Gluttony is not.
Gossiping is number one. Right. But true. True.
No, it's not.
Essentially just overindulgence in pretty much anything, correct? Yeah. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Anything and everything. Yeah.
Right. Well, again, it boils down to ding, 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 lack of self control.
There you are. Right there. Got it.
Oh. And that can be for anybody. That can be with your tongue. That can be for food. That can be for caffeine.
Gluttony.
Oh, alcohol. Whatever. Yeah. Soda. Like, it does not matter.
Absolutely.
TV. Gaming.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A gluttony.
Shopping.
Yeah.
Shopping.
Yes.
In fact.
I'm hitting myself in the head here.
Well, it's true. It's uncomfortable, but it's true. And that's where, when we get uncomfortable, it's where we start to realize, oh, there's sin in my life. There is.
For sure.
You know?
And that's when the bells go off and you're like, oh, I need to do something. I need to make a change. Something's not right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. I mean, in fact, gluttony and drunkenness is listed almost side by side in how many verses, you know, just as far as, okay, you overeat, you drink too much. It's the same thing. You know, it's the overindulgence.
Well, funnily enough, but all these things kind of fall into when you, I mean, not only lack of self-control, but a lot of these things fall into unhealthy coping mechanisms.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Here I am. What was that, Paul Blart? I mean, we're both there. We're there. We're still there.
Of course he has to quote Paul Blart.
Gotta quote Paul Blart.
I am done.
Oh, my.
Go away, pain. As he's eating peanut butter. Feelings in the peanut butter.
Peanut butter fills the cracks of the heart.
Oh, yes. My gosh. If you're going to do the if you're going to do the sloppy
crunchy
Joe.
Crunchy or creamy.
If you're going to do the sloppy Joe, do the sweet potato fries.
Yeah, do the sweet potato fries, but you know.
All right, let's get back to Sarah. Sarah, so let's the focus is on you this evening.
Well, I have fun with you guys though. So
well, let's
we have fun with you too.
Yes, we do have a good time. But let's blow the lid off some stuff here.
Yes, let's go. I'm ready.
Give me I guess start to beginning. Give me your story.
Okay. Well, I gotta be honest, Phil, like ever since you like asked me originally, I have really, really been thinking this through. And so I'm really going to focus on my own very personal side of things.
Okay.
Because I feel like that's just the most appropriate.
Sure.
And I do have a list.
Mm-hmm. We're all about that list.
Sure.
Yes, we're all about the list. But I mean, goodness. I think if you follow me on Facebook, you're really going to see a lot of the reasons why. But I guess for me, I really have to focus on purity culture.
Mm-hmm. Give us a definition of purity culture.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So purity culture, this is actually why I was on the last time. So
that's right. We did talk about it. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Purity culture. I mean, it's really the focus on purity in a really unhealthy way. Because purity in and of itself clearly is not a problem. It's very much Christ-like, but purity culture in the way that we grew up or that I grew up in was where there was a massive focus on virginity and modesty.
Yeah.
In ways that really objectified girls and placed boys and men in a place really in an animalistic way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It is harmful to both men and women.
Absolutely.
Very, very much so. Mm-hmm. So I don't want it to sound like that this is not a one-way harmful thing. No, I'm saying that weird. This is not only harmful to just one gender.
Sure.
Right.
Because it sets men up to have basically an easy way out and that all the blame's put on the women. Is that right?
Yeah, it's really kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy when you look at it very deeply at all. You know, you tell somebody, especially as a child, that they are going to be lusting after women and girls if they dress a certain way, then, you know, when that thing inevitably happens as soon as you go to Walmart.
Right.
That's where their mind has already gone.
Right.
And so for them to continue to go there is the path of least resistance in their neural pathways.
Yeah.
And so it's going to happen when you tell them, especially from a very young age, that that's what's going to happen.
And again, I think we've had this conversation a couple times in some of the whatever you want to call it, the hillbilly hangouts or virtual meetups, whatever it is that we call them.
Yeah.
I think their definition of lust is way off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
To the point 100%. Where they just consider attraction to somebody of the opposite sex being lust. And so then whenever somebody feels that, a guy feels, and he's going to feel that, you know, shocker.
When you notice.
Yes.
Right.
That's where it starts.
But and not so much just saying you're attracted as much as even just appreciating that someone is beautiful or someone is handsome. They immediately are like, you're sinning. You wish that person was yours. And I'm like, no, I really don't. I'm just admiring. That's like going out and admiring roses. Like, no, I just want to go have sex with roses. That's not what you're thinking at all. You're just appreciating just how beautiful they are or how handsome they are. Like, okay, wow, you're really handsome. Good and point. Okay, it's natural for us to be attracted to different people and be like, wow, okay, you are really pretty.
I've never wanted to have sex with roses, so that's a very good, comparison.
I'm just using it as
true.
An example.
You're onto something.
Yeah, like you're saying, oh my gosh, they're so pretty. Like, you know, it's okay to say that, but the moment you start crossing over into the whole either I wish that person was mine, or I wish that was the person I was having sex with, or I wish that I looked like them. We go back and forth between lust and jealousy, and there's those two things.
Couldn't you? Lust is very close to greed, in my opinion. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. It would be. Mm-hmm. Because you're wishing that person was yours.
I want that.
Yes.
Well, that there. I want it.
Yeah. Coveting.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't know how to appreciate God's beauty without having to taint it with our evil side, with the sin. Yeah.
We don't know how to appreciate without sexualizing them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So you're saying that this was a big part in your
That's a really massive part of my story. Yeah. Like as long as I can remember, really.
So in what way? Give me some for instance there.
So growing up, you know, my first memories with or encounters with, like purity culture. It was the Love Weights series that we did in Sunday school way back when. And, you know, it's even like, it's almost more awkward now thinking back on it because back then I didn't know any better.
Yes.
But when you pledge your purity, your virginity in front of a congregation.
Oh, yeah.
That's very weird. Yes.
Weird.
It is very odd because by even speaking those words, you are planting thoughts in their minds.
Okay. So yes, like you just said, you're putting ideas in your mind on something that we have no idea what you're even talking about. So you're promising away something that you have no clue what it's referring to.
Well, maybe.
Like for me though, it was like, okay, like what are you even talking about? And they're just
because they wouldn't have they wouldn't have honest conversations about sex.
No,
and virginity.
Just be like, okay, you can't have blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, so what's blah, 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 blah. Like, I I can't do that. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. What?
And you have like, the Love Weight series. I don't remember how many weeks this thing went. But I'm guessing in the 13-week zone.
Oh,
okay?
Lord.
Because that's how those things roll. I'm seriously, look at any Sunday school curriculum. Maybe I should have looked it up before I came on here. But how many times did you go to youth camp or go to a youth event where maybe they separated the girls and the boys and talked about the girls and the boys and the birds and the bees in very masked terms?
Right.
I went to a youth camp that did that.
I did.
Yeah, I don't think we get to do it.
We were always together.
I remember having that happen at Youth Challenge, and it was always really weird.
Wow. Youth Challenge.
Yeah. Wow. See, I was an early girl. Like, I'm old, guys. Comparatively, I'm not really old.
The approach we were around was pretty much you get married and then figure it out. Have fun. Yeah, figure out what goes where.
It was either figure it out or marriage is the answer to all of your burning
questions.
Why we got married. Your burning
questions. I remember those days.
I bet you are sweating over her right now. Oh my gosh.
Paul Blart again.
That verse really got misinterpreted. Is the answer to burning. Mm-hmm. It is not the answer
it
to your
not.
Porn problem.
Yeah.
It is not.
Because porn problem still continues after you're married. Eek. But no one wants to talk about that.
That's an addiction. That's not a
mm-hmm.
burning question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, so anyway. One thing too, that you're talking about purity culture that got me really like my first introduction to it was whenever the fathers are presenting a gift to the yes. daughters.
Wait, what?
Yes.
As a save yourself ring. For a marriage. You. Yes. That yes. got me so disgusted.
Okay, I got it. You got to enlighten me a little bit here on this.
Oh. Yeah,
I don't understand what
there
happening.
Are purity rings that yes. are given to you
yes.
by your father.
Yes.
You know, because the worldly people had jewelry.
Right.
But you pledged your virginity to your father.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
You promised your father that you would not give away your virginity.
Oh.
And I'm kind of like,
I mean, like,
I'm sorry. What?
Little, so I don't.
Good point.
That's true, Mariah. Your dad did go.
I didn't get that pleasure of that.
Thank
sickness.
You. I'm so happy
That's
for
okay.
you.
That's okay.
So there was a watch involved? There was a watch involved?
There was a watch involved for different... One, I said a ring because it was, you know, usually it was for
the sinners did the ring thing, right?
Right.
I've heard of
right.
that.
The more liberal, did the rings.
Yeah. Like the Baptist yeah. and maybe the Pentecostal. It depends on if
Some
you're like apostolic.
Them.
It depends. There's different versions of it.
But there was but a watch the, involved
a watch
in the
that was involved that way you wore all the time.
Oh, gosh.
And it was supposed to. And then you would hear stories about these girls that were like falling in love with different one, like this guy. And she would take it off because it was reminding her too much of the promise she made to her father. And I'm kind of like, this is disgusting. You are bringing your really dad into your like a sexual conversation. And I'm kind of like, my dad and sex never ended up in the same conversation, just so we're clear.
Yeah.
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 That whole enough. Thing, I mean, even a short study on that will make you disturbed.
Yes.
I'm disturbed right now. I'm not going to lie. This is very weird.
Yes.
Well,
it's uncomfortable.
Here's the thing, though. So purity culture in and of itself, like I said, I'm standing in front of a whole church.
Oh.
Pledging this.
Wow.
And signing a paper.
Oh.
I didn't pledge it to my father. It was to the church.
Oh, they did do that at camp.
And yeah. No, this Ooh. Was at our church.
Yeah.
At a camp.
And so, you know, this was a big deal, like, you know, and I was yep. extremely committed to this.
Sure.
I mean, because purity, hello,
yeah,
I'm a Christian.
You're extreme. You don't want to be Jezebel. You don't want to be
Jezebel. I mean, I honestly, I can say that for myself. I had very honorable intentions. I was very,
sure.
I
sure.
was actually quite pure in my intentions. And, you know, I'm trying to remember how old I was. I think I might have been 14.
Right.
Or so. And so by this point, you know, for me, I'm also mistaken for a woman because I was the same height that I am now and often mistaken as much older.
I see.
Yep. So that impacted me a lot.
Sure.
You know, whether a lot of it was unintentional.
Because essentially you're a kid, but they're
but they see me as a
yeah, you're advanced in development, they see you as an adult.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's gonna cause problems.
So I mean that has always worked against me.
Oh my goodness. You just brought
and,
back
you know,
flashbacks
being,
that I have.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's
well,
just,
I know, ooh. And you're tall too. I don't know yeah. how when you stopped growing, but I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And
so yeah, what you were talking about before that you know purity is very Christ-like. So absolutely, it's a good thing to
yeah,
it's good to save yourself from marriage. But
yeah.
what I got from purity culture, and I remember even hearing. Elvis Presley's stepbrother, or Rick something or other. I think he's dead now. But I think he was a Southern Baptist preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard him talking about, essentially, now I know to call it purity culture.
Right.
And he would talk about these girls that had not saved themselves from marriage. And the way he would depict them is, I think the words he used was passed around like a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, my
And it's like, okay. It's good to save yourself from marriage, But if you don't, mm-hmm. we're not talking about the end of the world here.
Yeah.
But that's the picture. Yeah. But that is that the picture that was painted?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you realize how many analogies were made to virginity as far as like a crumpled up rose, a chewed up piece of gum.
It became everything.
Oh my goodness. I mean, it was everything you didn't want to have anything to do with.
Yeah.
I mean, it was tainted in every level.
I'll go as far as even saying that you were trash, like a prostitute. On yeah, the street.
Sure. Oh, they completely depicted it as trash. And oftentimes, I don't know of a time that I didn't hear it put in a way that where there was not fault right. on you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like what was she wearing?
You did something yep. to deserve that. Yep. You were asking for it.
Which goes back to the whole boys will be boys argument. And that drives me nuts.
Whenever you had a guy that, you know, maybe got a little adventurous.
Right.
And came back and was trying to get himself right. He was not looked at in the same way.
No.
As a woman that did the mm-hmm. same thing. Not at all.
Not at all. Because the woman turned into Jezebel and the boy was just being adventurous. Yeah.
Here's
and
a man saved by grace. Let's welcome him back to the fold.
Yeah, he's exactly. forgiven. He was just a prodigal son. But they're like, okay, so with the woman, she might
there's
as well just
no
throw
prodigal
herself.
Daughters, mind you.
Yes. Yeah. She could throw herself out of the window like Jezebel because she is nothing but like, you know, meat for the dogs. That literally the whole depiction of the male versus female was so not fair. The women, if you were, you know, sleeping around or you did something wrong, you were depicted as the bad person. You deserved what you got. And if you never got married, it's because men don't want trash. Never mind that these men were going to strip clubs. No, I've seen it firsthand.
Never mind that for every time she did it, there was a man who did it too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or
oh,
boy.
Oh my goodness.
Absolutely. Anyways. So this was a big part of your upbringing. You said you had to pledge your virginity to the in front of the entire church.
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
Oh, darn. That's very strange.
Yeah, so I mean that's like early on. Really early on.
How old were you when this happened?
I mean, I think I was 14 or 15.
Teenager, okay.
Somewhere. Yeah, I was a teen. Mm. Somewhere in there. And then, you know, I went from there to, I'll give you an opportunity to edit this. I don't know.
Sure.
I went to Hope Sound.
Oh, yeah.
Straight from high school.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I did a year at Hope Sound. So whether or not you want to strike the name is up to you.
I will leave that completely up to you.
I personally don't care at this point.
Okay. We're leaving her in, John Becker.
Once I got to, I went there. My church wasn't overly happy with my selection of Bible college.
Because they Hope were Sound, divine. Yeah, Hope Sound was looked at as the worldly one back in the day.
Yeah, worldly. Yeah. That was bad news.
Yeah.
That was bad news. And so I was there for a year. It was a really bad experience for me. I did make some good friends while I was there. One of them I'm still in contact with, actually a few. But for some reason, once again, I feel like I ended up with a target on my back. And I feel like this is kind of like the story of my life. It's just, you know, there's somehow just a target attached to my back. I had a lot of rumors flying around me. Some of the girls eventually told me some of them, and they were like kind of scared to tell me, I think because of the nature of the rumor, you know, that I was being promiscuous in the parking lots that I was very surprised to find out about. Because I had very much kept my pledge.
Mm-hmm. This reminds me of that meme. Don't tell me what
I do.
I don't know.
Yes.
So I was, I had rumors about me that were news to me. And, you know, going there, you know, I'm like 2,000 miles away from home. And it's like their first time that I've really experienced any sort of autonomy from my family. And honestly, like I was having a ball, like I was really enjoying myself, especially like first semester. And I felt like, you know, that semester was probably the best. We had some, I have to share this. This is still one of the most classic memories for me.
Oh boy.
Hit me.
We had a dorm meeting because our dorm mom was leaving for 2 weeks. And the lady that was just filling in for 2 weeks really felt it upon her heart to have a dorm meeting with us poor girls.
Oh, my.
I'm not naming names. I'm just going to say it. If you know, you know. Oh my goodness. And I'm not talking like an average dorm meeting. Like this lady felt like she needed to impart her wisdom of probably 60 plus years.
Oh, gracious.
Not her wisdom and her opinion over the 60 plus years she has been alive, and a lot of her etiquette from probably 1922.
Oh, my.
My standouts from this 2 hour long meeting was that, A, you should never chew gum as a lady.
Oh, gee.
Why?
I don't understand that one in the least.
Yeah. Okay.
No gum chewing.
So when was this though?
Don't do it.
When did this happen?
This would have been 1999.
Okay.
Wait.
So in two.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think 99.
So in 2007, we were not allowed to chew gum either at BMI. So there's something that connected that was like, you
listen,
know,
we never change, sister.
Bless God.
We don't change around here.
Okay. So yeah, that was, that happened to be my issue. So I was just wondering what the reasoning was because it was never specified.
I don't understand that one. I'm like, I mean, I know people with TMJ aren't allowed to chew gum, but I don't know why else you couldn't chew gum.
I mean, like, number me, it two, just grosses me out personally, but that's just me.
Yeah, but I mean, apparently this was a very mortal sin. Secondly,
yes,
we girls should never, ever, ever, ever call on the, you know, telephones that we knew in those days. That was not a cell phone. We should never call a boy.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
That was
don't do it.
Far too forward.
Very forward.
For female behavior.
Oh, my.
She would have had to see what my forward was like.
And third, and by far best lesson that I learned was that if a boy, mind you, of course, we're all like adults in this room.
Yeah, never mind. Boy.
If a boy touched your shoulder.
Oh boy.
He would have to go relieve himself in the bushes.
Oh gosh.
No.
That is the amount
of
self-control that he had over himself around a young, chaste.
Oh my gosh.
What did they have going on in the bushes at Hope Sound is what I would.
Never mind. Okay, whoa. We're talking about shoulder here. Was not elbow that looked like a boob. This is straight up shoulder.
This is shoulder.
Oh god.
Shoulder.
Like,
I am still confused to this day.
Oh my god.
I want to know why. I want to know why the shoulder.
I really don't understand this. Now, I don't understand this. Boob,
then yeah, like
I feel at this point the Amish are laughing.
Her ankle even like her wrist or her hand that, you know, does awful things. We're talking about straight up shoulder that does nothing to your body sexually.
Well, apparently you're wrong.
Apparently you're wrong. The most interesting thing to me was the fact that she also told us that she'd only ever dated and married her husband.
Mm. So she knows so much.
Yes.
About
I'm like, massive where life experience. This information. Mm.
Well, you know, she would know because she's so pure, and that's like, exactly what is going on.
I feel like she
on.
Read E.E. Schoenhammer's book or something over here, which I have.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Her husband was off in the bushes.
Evidently, her husband was off in the bushes. Yes.
Oh
that's
my
true,
gosh.
Kanan. That's
I mean,
true.
I seriously, you have to wonder. I mean, and this was like a respected lady of the community.
This is some of the dumbest stuff I've ever heard.
Oh my gosh.
This is ridiculous.
It really is. And like, I mean, all of us girls afterwards were just like flabbergasted. And we're just like, are you serious?
Did it, did it at all make you feel like, oh my gosh, like I am so hot that men cannot take touching me?
I think the thing that struck us the most, honestly, was the fact that we knew, because she had told us that her husband was her only experience. And he was one of our teachers. Without this knowledge, before this meeting, decided that his class was not for me.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Good call. Good
Never
call.
Mind. He cannot touch your shoulder.
Yeah.
I mean,
sorry, he's a little late for class. He's in the bushes. We're going to have to postpone for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It was really, I know it sounds really hilarious, but it's really not.
Yeah. At the time. Because it's impressionable, I guess.
The community.
Yes.
And that's, I mean, like, that's a leader in your community. And, you know, being at that location, clearly, you know, people in the comment section of certain Facebook groups really might agree with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, what makes me sad, though, too, it was like she thought it was okay to make this statement. I'm sorry. That is not okay to be made. As a mother... And as a parent,
no,
that was not appropriate to be made. That was not appropriate.
Once again, this is a problem that I have really had. And this is kind of a sidetrack. I know we're in a massive rabbit trail right now.
Welcome to our lives. That's how the conversations go.
But, you know, this was a lady who was coming in to fill in for 2 weeks. She really believed that it was necessary that she communicated what she did. Mm. I have been a dorm dean for 1.5 years, which was a really interesting and informative time.
Right.
It was difficult because I felt such a betrayal of myself and my own beliefs in order to do that job.
I'm sure.
Even within that role, I cannot even imagine giving someone to fill in for me, giving them that amount of platform time, basically of power and the ability to influence the girls in that dorm, knowing what they struggle with, where they're coming from. And even at that time in my life, being woefully uninformed about the trauma in these girls' lives. And you're sitting here telling them that not only if you have been, you know, in a place where you pledged your virginity, if you have been in a place where you didn't have a choice in that pledge, if you have been in a place where your life has been so tormented that you don't wish to live anymore, and if you live in a place where you are told that what you put on with the purest of intention is still your fault, if someone rapes you, and then to tell them that if a man touches your shoulder, somehow that is still your fault, that he has to go relieve himself because somehow he, a man, the supposed leaders of this community, of religion, of the world, cannot control themselves over such a small instance, a normal.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Normal interaction.
Yes. And never mind that this is bringing about awful ideas and a weird perception of, okay, so the man is considered the male figure of God, the leader of your family. And this is how he is leading your family, has no self-control, views you as a handkerchief to be used and then thrown to the side. That's what's scary too, because that's how these women are viewing it. Like,
yes, you
know, this man figure is not responsible for anything.
I want to go on the record and say, men, we are all completely responsible for our own actions.
Absolutely.
And I feel that this was not portrayed to us in the CHM. So much fault was put on the female.
Absolutely.
And again, like you said, Sarah, this is also, you said that it's harmful to men and women as well. But I think it's also, this is demeaning to men, in my opinion. Yeah.
Everybody in your crew identifies as either Big Mac Burger, McNuggets, or McCrispy Sandwich. But you're the Filet-O-Fish Sandwich all day. That crispy fish, that savory tartar sauce, that melty cheese, that pillowy bun. Yeah, you get it. Every time.
And if you love the Filet-O-Fish, right now you can catch two of the classics you love for just $6. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Because it makes us look like animals, and we're not.
It does.
We're not.
Yes.
Guys, you have to control.
You are far better than that.
Yes.
You can be far better
Absolutely
than that.
Right. You're completely, I don't care what she's wearing, dude. You're completely responsible. I don't care what she said to you. How it's up to you. How you respond is completely on your shoulders. I tell you what.
Right.
I can take you pretty much to a court of law, and they'll tell you the same thing.
Right.
Yep.
What did you do? Okay, I don't care. I don't care what she did.
It is so
what
sad.
Did you do?
It is so sad that they have taken the low road when it comes to men, instead of making them as honorable men, such as Joseph in the Bible.
Yes.
Like, Potiphar's wife was throwing herself literally at him to the point that she was ripping his clothes off of him, and he still ran from that situation.
They handled it correctly.
Why are we not teaching our boys to be like, it does not matter if she's stripping off in front of you. You run the other way. Let us make men that are honorable and able to stand for something. Instead, we're like, no, she's just being a boy. I'm not okay with that. When it comes to my son, I want him to be looking at, like, I don't care if a woman is naked, like, and you can be turned on, the most turned on you have ever been.
It's still
but
up to you.
Still
yes,
are
it's still
running
up to the guy.
The other way. It is your choice.
Let's take it back to hunting, boys. Let's take it back to hunting. Okay, all the male species, all these animals, they do the pursuing, right?
Right.
They're loaded with testosterone.
Absolutely.
So is the human male.
Absolutely.
All right? You got to deal with it. You just have to do it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
You don't get a pass.
No.
No matter what the CHM put in our head, it's up to you.
Right.
It is completely up, and by you, I mean the man.
Right.
It's up to you how you respond. Right. And I mean, quite frankly, we're not animals. We're not a deer that just goes and, you know, okay, let me just, it's rut. Let me breed as many as I can. Absolutely not.
Right.
We're better than that.
Yeah. Right.
And this kind of stuff here, I mean, I think that men ought to recognize it for what it is. As it's demeaning to you, the man, as well, as in it portrays you out to be an animal and you're not.
Yeah. And in a way of making it try to look like the easy way out, they're making you as to be a awful image.
Yes, they are.
They are making you look like a terrible person by trying to give you an easy way out.
100%.
Anyways, that was a real good rabbit hole that we went.
That was a good one. Where was we at?
Great rabbit hole. Oh, goodness. So we're still in Hope Sound, right?
We're still in Hope Sound. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm going to tell this story and I might decide later to cut it out.
That's fine.
Because for me, this would be the first time I've told this publicly.
Okay.
So while I'm there, like I said, I'm on the subject of rumor. I honestly still don't know why. However, so I had some friends and we were really close. And, you know, as girls are girls, we like fashion and makeup and looking pretty and all this kind of stuff. Like, I feel like it's quite normal for a young woman.
Absolutely.
So one of my friends had makeup, the forbidden sin.
Jezebel.
Just one of my for Jezebel things. No, so she did some makeovers on my friend and I. I was not experienced whatsoever with makeup at all at this time. And so she did some makeovers for us. Like, I was completely blown away by what she could do. And so, you know, of course we took pictures because hello, we're like Vogue magazine.
Yeah, why the heck not? Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was literally her inspiration. So anyway, so we were doing like makeovers and stuff in our rooms at night. Like, we were not obviously wearing makeup in public whatsoever. We were, you know, following the rules. I would to this day say I was following the rules. I did not wear makeup outside of my room whatsoever. And like, this was my complete first experience with makeup.
Yeah.
And we had, like, my friend and I had some jumpers with, I mean, they were basically, it was like a sleeveless dress. It wasn't even a jumper. Like, our shoulders were fully covered.
Mm-hmm.
And we had taken some pictures of that. And of course, back in those days, you know, you had to go have them printed at like Walmart.
Yes.
You know, 1 hour photo counter.
Yeah.
And we had done that like several times actually. But I mean, they were ours. They were private. They weren't shared.
Yes.
And so
what you're telling me is nobody's business is what
you're yeah, like yes. It was all very private. But of course, as you know, these colleges have RAs, who do, at least at that one, they did room check.
Mm-hmm.
And this one decided to snoop beyond the fact that your room was clean.
Oh boy.
Like, literally, that is the point. Oh, I have directed, room checks, and my point is that your room is clean. I am not sifting through your personal properties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really believe that, 100% believe that to be an overstep and a violation of
sure,
your boundaries of privacy.
Did it, you have that little clause though that said that your room was subject to inspection at any given time without your consent?
I don't know.
I have the handbook somewhere. I should have had this pulled up for Hope Sound.
Well,
but
I mean, like I said, this was in 99.
Good point. Yeah. True. I don't know good what the years are.
Yeah. I
know we had that at BMI.
No, that's available.
Yeah. We didn't even have it.
It might have been. Mm-hmm. It honestly still seems fishy to me. I mean, no matter whether it was in their handbook or not, that's not okay.
Right.
To just rifle through private belongings that
not
are
at all.
Clearly private.
Not at all.
Oh, but never mind. You are given to them to be protected. And then as a parent, you're allowed to do that. So therefore, they take it upon themselves to be able to have the freedom for that. I've been there.
Yeah.
Been there. I understand.
Well, yep, 100%. So she found these photos of me and my friends. And I would show it to you if I had it to you, because I am not embarrassed of this photo whatsoever. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a regular photo. I'm in makeup that is really tame, in my opinion, and in a sleeveless, like probably calf length dress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we had taken a picture, and of course we were like really feeling it. So we kind of gave a little bit of a sexy look, I guess, if you want to call it that, if we could even define sexy at this point.
yeah.
And this was found and perceived as problematic.
Oh my God.
Potentially problematic, even
potential.
At that. Okay.
Not even really problematic. It was just like,
yeah.
Just
what's your intention?
Potential. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
And so these photos got passed through the entire disciplinary staff.
Oh boy.
Oh my goodness. Like, that's not a problem in and of itself. If it's a problem, then you put it
exactly.
aside. Exactly. Why are we sharing it like it's porn?
Yeah, we got something here that's an issue. Let's pass it around, boys. How about that? That seems to be good logic.
That reminds me of all these people that are like, oh, you need to read that sexy message that you sent me the other day. That was a problem.
Yeah.
Can you read that? I need to know. I need to hear your voice as you're reading this. Like, that's disgusting. What the heck is going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly how I felt. I mean, I remember sitting at office and he had the photos on his desk.
Oh,
and I knew how they were viewing it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very obvious how they were looking at it. Like,
you felt like you were on a porn magazine.
Very much so.
Yes, I understand that.
And so it was extremely humiliating. And this was like at the end of the semester. So we come back and, you know, down there you go into J term and sea breeze camp. And so I'm doing J term and I don't remember, sea breeze camp happened. And so of course, like, emotion is flying high because everyone's coming off the holidays. You're exhausted. You're doing like really, intense courses, because J term is basically where you do like an entire course in a month rather than over an entire semester. And so you're doing all that. And like the last night of camp, I went to the altar because I felt really convicted, who knows over what. And I really felt like I had like repented of whatever it was.
This grievous sin of taking a picture in private.
Hashtag pure. Yes. Yeah. Like, it was straight up pure.
I remember like earlier in the first semester, you know, finding out about the rumors and just being really trying to be positive and just be like, you know what? I'm just going to prove them wrong by just being who I really am.
Sure.
Because I am not this bad person that they're making me out to be. Right. And I know that I'm not that person. I never have been. I've been accused of it before this. And again, they were very messed up situations. But like, I knew in my heart that this is not who I am. It's never who I have tried to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I'm like, I just remember, like, I'm really going to do my best to rise above this.
Mm.
And I get to the end of camp and I get informed that I have a meeting with on Monday, which is the day after the last day of camp. So I'm like extremely nervous about this meeting. And I remember like the walk to the admin building, which is kind of far away from the girls' dorm. And like being directed to go up the steps in the back of the admin building and then following all the way around to basically the front of the admin building to where the door was. And, you know, stepping into that room where he is and closing the door, and it's just me and him, which honestly feels wrong.
And again, yes. You would have been how old at this time?
Yes.
At this time, I was 18, actually 18. I think it was 18 or 19. And he proceeded to like scream at me, and I do mean scream, and tell me how awful I was. He brought up a very specific shirt that I had worn. I honestly don't remember a lot of what he said. I just remember the screaming, him bringing up that shirt, and very specifically telling me that nobody, no man would ever want me for anything besides sex.
Lord. Hey, again, one reason why I remember talkings too, okay, at about that age. I remember how impactful they were. And again, that's why I say, over something like this, like, what the heck? You know, it's...
Yeah.
I know what that did to me. I can only imagine what that did to you and you ladies in general.
Right.
The stuff you had to go through. That's flat out outrageous and ridiculous. I mean, he ought to be ashamed of himself.
Well, looking at back at things, I look back at, and this is not about me, Sarah, but
the same thing happened to me when I was at BMI. I got called in privately.
This is not
private.
This is extremely common.
Yes. Yep. The targeting of women.
Yeah.
And we were brought in privately to have solo intervention conversations with men of power. And
yes,
they want you to, you know, grovel and but cry for forgiveness and all this stuff. And when you don't do that, they just kind of look at you and be like, guess what? Well, you're a reprobate mind. There's no hope for you. And I've been there. I have been there for that whole thing. And when I look back at it, whenever I got called into BMI's office, when Robert was the president, he told me, like, there's so many things that he said that there was no hope for me because if I had basically given up my mind to the devil, and that my parents had failed and my parents were never going to make it to heaven because of my sins and like all this stuff.
This was
I look back at all these different things that have happened to me and I think back and I would have turned around and walked back out of the room and called my dad immediately and said, Dad,
he has me by myself.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
For you, it was sexual. Whereas for me, it was more of a, I know she's by herself. She's a innocent girl, but I'm going to make her feel so bad because of all the control that I have. It was literally power hungry. And I wish I could have had it done over again. I wish I was as strong as I am right now because I would have left the room and been like, Dad, I am by myself with this man and I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So for you, I cannot imagine how and you feel, Sarah, because hers is sexual, whereas mine was, you messed up, girl. Like, I know I messed up. I was watching videos when I shouldn't have, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you were, Sarah was just wearing a shirt that someone normal. Had lettering on it that, you know, okay, granted.
It was literally a plain orange athletic shirt, but I had breasts.
Yeah. Okay.
See, and the thing is, who you're talking about there with Russ.
Right.
And we can edit names if we need to after the fact.
No,
he's looked
care.
At as one of the good ones now.
Oh, yeah.
And again, Sarah looked at by a lot of the CHM. As one of the good ones.
Oh, he is.
These guys are messed up.
They are.
They have an issue upstairs.
Yeah.
Oh, they're sick.
Yeah, there's more. there's more to the story.
I was going to say, Sarah has more of the stuff. That's just one situation that has bothered me
I'm
so badly.
Notes. Give me some
because I relate. I relate to so much that she's saying.
Yeah.
But anyways, go ahead, Sarah.
Well, I mean, so basically, he went on to also just really harp on makeup, which, you know, I wasn't wearing outside of any, I wasn't wearing it on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I pointed out that my mother wore blush, to which he just really flipped his lid in disbelief. But the aftermath is what really killed me because at that point, I had been trying so hard and nothing was working. Nothing was changing. These people were still, you know, talking about me. And, you know, and then you have like, you know, at this point, like there was someone who I really looked up to and admired.
Sure.
Like deeply. And so that the rest of that semester, I like spiraled so deep. It's literally probably the worst. I can honestly remember the lowest I've ever been. I quit attending classes. I was flunking out of everything, mostly because I wasn't there. So that was like what, in late January, pretty much. So the next big thing that really kind of came along, besides the fact that I was just in such a dark spiral, was choir tour. And you know, I think choir was like the only thing that I was okay attending, because in a lot of ways, you know, like it was stress relief because I could just sing.
Yeah.
And that's something that for me, it relieves a lot of stress for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, I did end up becoming like a voice major later on. Actually, I think I was a voice major there too, but I was such a hot mess that I wasn't making a whole lot of progress.
Sure.
In fact, I'm like still mortified for myself.
Can I ask you, do you mind telling the group what he said to you about your shirt? You talked to us, we talked privately about things and you told me.
The second time?
Are you coming to that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was on choir tour.
Okay. All right. I was talking to Phil. I was like, I don't know if she's going to say this. So I kind of told Phil and I'm like, hopefully she says this. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Choir tour was interesting.
Yep. Oh boy. This stuff blows my mind. The things that like, they're so comfortable saying to us as young girls, so vulnerable.
Yeah. And I'm still like, you know, even though I was like,
that feels uncomfortable with standing up.
I'm sorry.
You can tell. I'm getting worked up here.
No, he's getting upset.
I had to pull my Pat McAfee head to stand up for a minute.
I'm sorry, babe.
That stuff's bullshit.
It is. It really is.
So choir tour happens, and I forget where we were. I know we were still in Florida, but at any rate, we're at a church place, which, funnily enough, was the furthest thing from CHM that you can imagine. We're like, you know, I have to get there really early to practice and set up and all this stuff. And so I'm in like pre-approved, like I know I'm okay clothes, right? Like they are loose.
Right. were yours like three times too big? Because I know at BMI, ours were like, I could wear a size 4 shirt. It might have been a little snugged and showed that I had somewhat of a boob when I was 120 pounds. Like, my goodness. But yeah, so I would wear that. And I was very, we're in a size 12. So mine were 3 to 4 times too big.
Oh, good. No, it wasn't that bad.
These were bad.
they were technically, our outfits at the time were lavender.
Oh, my.
Yes. no, but we didn't even have our choir outfits on. And honestly, the shirt that I had on was looser than my choir outfit, which, like I said, I mean, you know how they like literally check all of you.
They do.
I mean, it's very specific how much they check you. And it's really weird.
Wait, what kind of a check? What are we talking about? I'm not familiar with this, Miss.
Modesty check. Hello.
Yeah.
So we go like everybody lining up. We're going down the line.
Yep.
Well, I mean, so everyone tries it on and you have to come in to whoever is the checker.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it was who I adored. Like she was like a mom. And so she came to me with a message from.
Mm-hmm.
I did not even know he was there and told me that I needed to change my shirt because it was too much. So she was as equally confused as I was.
Yeah.
Which
says to me a lot that he was staring too hard. Because we women are such big critics of our own selves. And we notice if a girl's wearing a shirt that you actually look very curvy in it and you look good. Okay. We women are the biggest critics of ourselves. So the fact that another woman is clueless and that leads to that, okay, someone was staring too hard.
Yeah, it was really.
You didn't even have to touch your shoulder.
No.
Oh my goodness.
Mariah for the win.
It was
on that.
Really disconcerting to me. As yeah. I'm, and I, again, like the confusion and the realization that he is looking at me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where he felt he needed to communicate through a third party that I had to change.
Yeah.
This is not even the end of my choir tour.
Yeah.
This was a really red flag year. Because later on, you know, like for Home Sound, your last hurrah, if I can remember correctly, is IHC.
Right.
Or very close to it. Because by the time you hit IHC, I mean, you're coming from South Florida and you've traveled like a gazillion miles.
Yeah.
And you're exhausted.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we ended up IHC. And, you know, all the while this is happening, someone that I was interested in very much is literally like waiting for me at the doors. And whisked me off and date raped me in his parents' hotel room.
What?
Yes. That was not on my radar. I did not give consent. And the next thing I know, you know, like this is all happening. And I mean, I'm so completely not there. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not able to actually be in my body. And the next thing I know, you know, I'm like standing on the platform, singing and thinking that I just had sex and nobody knows. But at this point, you know, that's all anybody wants me for anyway.
Because that's what you were told.
And I was so tired. So tired of fighting it. And then, you know, once someone takes it from you, I mean, at that point, you're just a chewed up piece of gum, right? So who cares after that? So the rest of my year there was pretty much a hot mess. You know, I go from there and I ended up going home and I went to a Penn View service, funnily enough, at my former church. And I actually heard like God speak to me like audibly to go to GBS. And like, I mean, I still absolutely 100% believe that's what it was. And that's where I needed to be at the time. And that's where I went. And, you know, everything, you know, financially worked out and I got into quartets and people were very kind to me while I was there. But I was just like, I couldn't have gone anywhere else. I think at that point that I wouldn't have questioned other things. And so in a way, like being in quartet really did, in some ways it really boosted my confidence in myself. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I felt like I was on an island.
Yeah.
And, you know, people would tell me, like, once I became friends with them, they're like, oh, you're so intimidating. And I just never thought you would be my friend. And I'm just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, I was so insecure. And my entire persona of confidence was a complete act.
Yeah.
It was survival.
Take it till you make it.
Every bit.
Yep.
Every bit. And so, you know, I mean, being there, I feel like was really good for me at that time. And then, you know, I got married. And, you know, I mean, of course, I'm skipping over a lot of stuff, even with GBS, you know, especially dating, which is another hilarious stories. But yeah. Because, you know, Bible college isn't dating.
That's a podcast in of itself. I want to
have.
That's
its own story.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. So, yeah, you go from there. Again, all of this is unaddressed. no one's talking. And no one's even addressing the fact that so much psychological and emotional abuse has happened, and don't really think that it's valid, even if it would be addressed.
Yeah.
And then you get, like, we go to a church in Ohio, and right off the bat, before we even get married, the pastoral counseling. And I'm still, I mean, like, again, it's one of those memories that's just like imprinted on my brain of the pastor telling me the 72-hour rule around sex again.
And okay, I'm not sure about what's the 72-hour rule?
Oh, this is a Dr. Dobson rule that he came up with on his very own. And he has really done a good job making this sound like absolute truth that, you know, men are going to die if you don't have sex every 72 hours.
What?
Dang. You heard this one before.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Well,
that's, I mean,
as you can imagine, that one traveled far and wide because...
Yeah, you don't want your man to die, because, so you have to give him sex.
Well, I mean, again, you're still living very much in purity culture. And, you know, if you don't put out, then, of course, they're going to turn away. And it's your fault if they cheat. Once again, this is stuff we've covered in their previous podcast.
Yes, yep, it is.
So go back and listen.
Yes. Oh,
my I don't really want to describe all that again. But, I mean, but this is, you know, for me, this is my trajectory. For me, all this stuff centers on sexuality. And I know it's a really, really uncomfortable topic for a lot of people because there's so many lies spun around it. There's so many lies that have been spun that really only benefit one side of the equation.
Right.
And so, you know, I land in a church that's very much steeped in that, in some ways, even worse and more. They really promoted the Love and Respect book and videos and like the pearls. Yes. Oh, dear God.
Oh, Mike Pearl. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Mike and Debbie Pearl.
Yeah, oh, crazy Mike.
To be his doormat. It was really should be the name of that book.
Wow.
And so that's where we are. And so I'm having even more of this type of messaging just pounded into my brain. And it's a lot. And being at that church eventually, you know, is kind of where I really discovered narcissism, which is a whole other podcast. And I really could say that a lot. But anyways, that's really where I discovered narcissism, what it looks like and how it plays out. And that's really where I started to put the pieces together initially.
Sure.
And, you know, for me, that place was, with the exception of friends who made sanity a thing for me at all, it was insane. It was so miserable. UBC looked like an escape, largely in part because of like who the president was, because they were our friends, you know. And then I come there, and you know, at first, you know, like any narcissist relationship, the very beginning is amazing. You know, I see my husband finally look like a person who's being fulfilled. He's happy with what he's doing, and he just feels like he's doing all the right things. But that didn't last long. And I saw it before he did, because I'm, you know, mostly I'm the observer, and I'm not sitting in the room with the leadership, and I just watch as he is taken advantage of over and over again until the point, you know, by the time we left, I mean, he just, to me coming home, he just looked like a shell of who he really was. You know, I had a lot of questions my whole life. They were never answered in a way that was satisfying. that your fully satisfied logic. Mm-hmm. So I've always had questions that never really got answered. And, you know, for a long time, I went along with the answers they gave because it wasn't really another option.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean there.
It wasn't really another option. And, you know, even like when my husband and I got married, we both agreed that we would be okay with a wedding ring, but we did not want to rock the boat.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We wouldn't be able to minister in places that we normally would have, even though we never really did that anyways. But, you know, we wouldn't be allowed on a platform.
Right.
Over a wedding band. And so we didn't. And I know at times, I mean, I have said things I wish I could take back. Just, I think I was really just feeling very insecure and felt like I needed to put that out there. How dare you do these things that I'm not allowed to do?
Been there. I did a lot of that.
Oh, man.
So I'm so sorry to all those people that I offended. I actually really am. It's quite mortifying.
Same here.
So, yeah, by the time we get to UBC, and just my experiences there, I was there, I worked there a year and a half and had to quit, which was a blessing. I didn't realize at the time, but it ended up being that. And at that point, I really started living by what I believed. Of course, that wasn't taken well.
Sure.
But this kind of that stuff, you know, there was actually... my target was showing from day one.
Mm-hmm. Because you dared to live by what you actually believe, not by what the crowd said you needed to do.
Well, and part of that target was the fact that I went to GBS. surprisingly.
They're getting looked at as a little bit liberal these days too, right? Is that
I guess. I think a lot of what happens there, there's a lot of rivalry, and GBS is seen as a holier than thou, even more than they are.
Well, that just or even the pictures.
That you're better. They think that you're better than them.
See, what I'm getting from this particular thing here is we need football teams, and then these rivalries could be played out on the field. Like Marshall and WVU.
This, like,
oh my goodness. So I saw a picture. Oh, yes. I saw a picture that was sent to me by a friend. And she was like, so what? Are we on Little House of the Prairie now? And it literally has a picture of a girl with like multiple layered skirts. And she has like a petticoat underneath her top layered skirt.
Oh,
and then she has this bonnet on so that she stays warm. It's cold. I totally get
it. Wait, was this like an old fashioned day or something?
No. I have the picture and I will send it to anybody who messages me and asks for it. But my goodness, I was like, this is literally Laura Ingalls. It is Laura Ingalls. It's like, it's weird.
Wow.
It is so weird. And the fact is, too, none of the stuff that they're wearing matches. And I'm thinking, this poor girl, she thinks that she is dressing really good. And I'm sorry. I am so sorry. And I'm not being hateful because I was that one girl that thought it would be cool to wear multiple patterns and you can look good. This poor girl has no idea anything about fashion. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, this poor child. Bless her heart.
So... if I could, Sarah, you've given us some of your background here and some of the absolute ridiculous stuff, terrible things you came through. Where do you find yourself now as far as how you look at Christianity?
Yeah. Good question.
Well, I do feel, I actually feel like being able to distance myself from the CHM has been the biggest blessing because it has finally let me actually encounter God.
Yes.
Yep.
Bingo.
Yep.
I mean, we're in a church now that for the first time, if they help you, there's not this implied sense of obligation that you have to sacrifice yourself because we helped you.
Mm-hmm.
Pledge your loyalty.
Yeah. Some about your loyalty.
Yeah. I can relate to that. Absolutely.
Or unconditional loyalty.
I mean, our pastor just told us that he was actually giving us space because he realized that we were coming through some stuff. And so he was taking a hands-off approach. Yeah. That is not the that CHM way at all.
No. Yeah, that's perfect. I don't know if that's what my pastor feels. I know that they know that. We're kind of far away from them too. So that kind of makes it a little difficult. But for now, I feel like we're just in such a good and loving church who, if I tell them stuff, they aren't standing there blaming me for what happened. And honestly, they still, you just can't explain this stuff to someone who hasn't experienced it. You just can't.
Sure. Nope.
The closest I can get is shiny, happy people adjacent.
Oh my goodness. That's a different conversation. Yep. It is very close. That is
it is a different conversation.
That's why, like, I say there's a documentary coming one of these days.
Explain it.
Yep.
I don't know how else to explain it. We're shiny, happy people adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we're almost there.
We're shiny, happy people supporting
organization. Yes. The shiny, happy people were still sinners in our eyes.
They were to the right. They were, sure. But they were trying, but they were still so confused.
Yes. One of these days, God will give them light. It's kind of something that I like to ask everybody that's come out of the CHM and has done so successfully. There are people that listen to this that are still in the CHM.
Yeah.
What advice would you give them if they're sitting there and it's not working for them, or, you know, they're just, hey, this ain't, something's wrong, or they're starting to pick up, maybe they're starting to pick up on some cues like you did. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have for them about leaving the CHM in general?
That's a good question.
And maybe leaving, I mean, there are some people that stay, but so maybe I should throw that out there, but just, you know, in general, people that are having some issues with it, what would you tell them?
I think some of the questions you have to ask are, what benefits you by staying? Is the benefit that you don't make people mad? What are you gaining by staying? And if you stay, what changes?
Mm.
Is it worth it? Are you growing or are you spiraling?
Well, let me ask you this too, because this was a big thing I could probably safely say for all of us. Have you found God outside of the CHM?
Yes. I think I'm still finding him.
Yep, me too.
I think that the God that I was taught to know isn't God at all.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
It is really a contorted version of it. We're shown what God is supposed to be, and it's really not the God of the Bible.
No.
And I can say this very, very comfortably. He's more real outside of the CHM. That has been my experience.
He makes way more sense.
He sure does. He sure does.
And there's not so much fear, even. Like, I don't go to bed at night scared that, you know, God's going to leave me behind because I'm human.
Again, back to the beginning of the podcast, Scott Pyle, what he said, it doesn't haunt me at night anymore like it used to.
That's right.
That doesn't haunt me. You know, God's different than that. And I can say that as somebody who used to be a staunch 100% completely bought into the CHM.
Yep.
I can say it absolutely. It's not right. It's not right. And the God that you discover outside is real, and he loves you, and he's not there with a big stick, and you don't make just one sin and fall into hell. It is so much different.
Just like we go to bed at night, like I go to bed knowing personally that my parents love me. I don't doubt that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can go to bed with that knowledge that my human parents who mess up themselves will jump out of bed at a moment's notice and come running to me if I call for them. God loves me more than that. That was not the God that was portrayed to me.
And I have tested that. Miss, I've tested that since I left the CHM. There's been some times that I'm like, and you know what? The message I still get whenever at the end of the day, Phil, you screwed up, but God still loves you. He's still there. You're still on what's that? What Scott said, your relationship is severed. Nope. Not at all.
Nope.
Not at all. I'm still right here, Phil. Let's get back on track. Let's keep doing this thing.
Everybody in your crew identifies as either Big Mac Burger, McNuggets, or McCrispy Sandwich. But you're the Filet-O-Fish Sandwich all day. That crispy fish, that savory tartar sauce, that melty cheese, that pillowy bun. Yeah, you get it. Every time.
And if you love the Filet-O-Fish, right now you can catch two of the classics you love for just $6. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.